first reading for this fifth Sunday of Easter is found in your Bibles in the book of Acts, the eighth chapter, and we begin reading at verse 26. An angel of the Lord is said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does this prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop. They both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from the first epistle of St. John, the fourth chapter, and we read verses 1 through 11. "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us. And God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 1. Jesus is speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. You abide in me, and my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and shall prove to be my disciples. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Another one of the beautiful hymns that Carl Schalk gifted to the church. He, again, was a professor at Concordia River Forest for many, many years. He was sainted in January. Virginia, he was above 90. He was 91 years old and still teaching at the college when he finally passed away. My text for this morning, appropriately for the day we're giving out Bibles, is from John chapter 15. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. The branches are gathered, thrown into fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. It will be done for you. This is our text. I know I've mentioned it at least one or two times before, but I am an avid fan of Perry Mason, one of the greatest lawyers to ever live, at least in a television series. How many of you are familiar with Perry Mason? Raise your hands. Those of you who are not, you should get familiar with Perry Mason. 271 episodes. You can watch one every weeknight for over a year and not see every episode. But if you watch enough, and I have watched enough, there are some familiar themes that you will find repeated again and again. For instance, there's this old dad, or grandfather, or uncle, or aunt. And they're on in years, and their health is failing, and they're about to die. And then some long-lost son, nephew, grandson, granddaughter, who has not paid any attention to them for years, suddenly shows up. Why? Because they want to make up and make the old person feel better? Nah. You can guess. They're just there to collect the inheritance. They care nothing for the person that is blessing them. And then about 20 minutes or 30 minutes into the show, somebody dies, and then you spend the rest of the time in court trying to figure out who done it. And it's always a surprise. But the theme is repeated again and again. And not just in Perry Mason, I think it's repeated in life. At least in our relationship to God. You know, I've met very people that don't want to go to heaven when they die. A very precious gift bought at a great price. Do not think that it did not cost God. God is love. It's his essence. As we read in our first epistle from John today. God doesn't want to just give us gifts. God wants a relationship with us. And if God is the essence of love, imagine what it was like for God, Father and Son, to bear the cross. Jesus bearing the pain and the suffering and the loneliness. God the Father, as his Son, cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some mysterious event that we can't fully comprehend turns his back on his own son. What would you as a parent feel if, for instance, you saw your infant child suffering and in pain calling out to you, and for some reason, which seems unfathomable, you just stood there and turned your back on them? Anybody witnessing that would say, you're not full of love, you're full of hate. But we know that not to be true of God. So imagine how agonizing that had to be for him. And how deep, as we just sang in that hymn from Carl Schalk, how deep his love must be, because we know why God did it. He did it so that we might have an inheritance with him, to abide with him forever. The heavenly home that Jesus Christ has gone to prepare a place for us. But not separate and distinct from God. You know, it's just in the previous chapter of the Gospel of John, where he says, I go and prepare a place for you. And I will come again, and I will take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. God is love. He wants to be with you forever, bound in a relationship of love with you, where he cherishes you and you cherish him. But my friends, there's a lot of people that don't get that about God. That's not just about hanging around and one day getting the inheritance from him. It's about having an ongoing relationship with him. And our Lord Jesus Christ defines what that relationship looks like. If you abide in me and in my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. The Greek word translated abide in that verse we just heard from Scripture is a kind of fascinating Greek word, at least in terms of the Gospel of John. If you look up how the Greek word, by the way, is meno, M-E-N-O. If you look it up and see how many times it occurs in the Gospel of John, it occurs 41 times, more than any other book of the Bible. In the first epistle of John, which is much shorter, only about 6 chapters, it occurs 26 times. But if you look, for instance, in the rest of the Gospels, it occurs 3 times in the Gospel of Matthew, 2 times in the Gospel of Mark, a whopping 7 times in the Gospel of Luke. In fact, as you look throughout all the rest of the New Testament scriptures written in Greek, the next closest book has it 9 times, not 41 times, not 20 times, 9 times, 1 Corinthians. The Gospel of John in the first epistle of John are very much focused not just on God's gifts to us, but his relationship to us. How do we abide in Jesus? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, as Jesus describes it here in John 15, it's about his words being in us, part of us. The animation, if you will, for our day-to-day life. He says essentially the same thing again back in John chapter 8, verse 31. To the Jews who had believed in him, there were people who had been following him, and they became believers in his word. And Jesus said to them, if you continue, as some verses have it, but the Greek word is the same, meno. You abide in me, my words. You are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth. The truth will set you free. You abide in my words. Unfortunately, within the same chapter, as Jesus continued to speak with them, they rejected his words and ended up picking up stones to stone him. Or we can go to John chapter 6. That same word, meno, occurs again. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, I in him. Do you remember what Jesus said on the night that he was betrayed? Do this, speaking of the Lord's Supper, to remember me. Be in his words, eat his flesh, drink his blood. Be with him in the places he promises to be found. He promises to be in the Lord's Supper. He promises to be in the Word. And you know what? There's one other place that he promises to be. Well, maybe two. In baptism, he washes away our sins. But also in the fellowship of the body of Christ, which is the church. Wherever two or three are gathered, not to eat pizza, not to play volleyball, but where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. You know, you've heard it quoted before, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. If you've ever heard somebody say that, raise your hands. Find me the chapter and the verse in Scripture that says that. My friends, it doesn't exist. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Continue in my word. Eat my flesh. Drink my blood. Do this to remember me. If you want a relationship with Christ, gathered together with fellow believers in the name of Christ, eating his flesh, drinking his blood, hearing his word, that's how you have a relationship with him. And he promises to you that the good gifts that we want from him will be yours. Abide in my words and ask whatever you wish will be given to you. Today we're giving out scriptures, placing the word of God in the hands of some second and third graders. But not just so it can be put on a bookshelf someplace and people go on with just life however they want to live it. God does not want us to just show up at the end of our days here on this earth and expect to receive from him a great inheritance when we don't really want a life together with him, abiding in him, meno in him. If we want to live not in many houses, there's one mansion, many rooms. If we want to live forever with God in his house, that would have to mean we want a daily relationship with him. Regularly, we'll want to eat his flesh and drink his blood. Regularly, we'll want to hear his words. Daily, we will strive to live in those words, in the life that God calls us to lead here on earth and forever in heaven. God indeed wants us to receive great and wonderful gifts from him. Those gifts he has already purchased for the whole world, the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. And he wants indeed to give those gifts to the whole world. But chief among those gifts is a forever relationship of love, a yearning to be with him, to have him be with us, his word, and his sacraments. Praise be to God that those of you who are here today, I believe, get this. There's a whole world out there that doesn't. That's looking for some kind of blessing from God, apart from a real relationship with him. To them, we need to speak of the wonderful and precious gifts that God indeed does give. But we also need to emphasize, if we want to have those gifts both now and forever, we need to have a relationship with him who loves us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which indeed surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.